Are you stressing out about your rent payment going way up if you try to turn it into a mortgage payment? I understand. A lot of people feel this way. And instead of just sitting around being concerned about it and worrying about it, I've got a great example here. This is Melissa and Andrew. They ended up listening to the podcast and figuring out that they wanted to buy a home. They even knew their rent was going to go up, and their rent actually doubled when they had to figure out what their mortgage payment was going to be. But listen to this great interview with them, and you'll hear how they worked the plans, worked the planning, got the unicorn team. And because they'd done so much planning ahead of time, by the time they talked to their unicorn, they ended up buying in just a matter of weeks. And no, they didn't use 20% down. They did this all with a low down payment. Let's listen. Hi, everybody. Very excited today because once again, we have another listener who is sitting in their home, their very first home. Listeners, I should say, this is Andrew and Melissa, and they closed on their home a year ago, around March of last year, beginning of March of last year. So Andrew, Melissa, say hi to all the homies out there.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, so give us your best tip. What was your biggest takeaway? I know it was a long time ago for you guys, but that's the thing with the podcast. We want to make sure we're getting as many stories as we can out there. Tell us what you remember in the process that still sticks out in your head.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah, no. First? Biggest tip would probably be find people that you're comfortable with and that you trust and are experts, because we were first time. And if we didn't have the people that we had, I think we would have been way lost. So that's my thought.
Yeah. And then once you find those people, listen to them. They have tons of experience, hopefully, and can really guide you through really every step of the home buying process and get you through some sticky moments, which we encountered a little bit during our process. So,
ooh, sticky moments. We're going to get into that. Okay. So you guys reached out to me at the beginning of last year, but you closed pretty quick. So talk to me about, since your biggest tip is talk to those people, what kind of planning did you do on your own before you reached out to me? Or did you just sit back and listen to the podcast and wait to talk to me until way later?
Yeah, so I started listening to your podcast. I was really in kind of like a podcasting mindset because I used it when we were wedding planning. And I had done a little bit of like online research, like dabbling in like calculators and reading about how to really get started with home buying. And I came across your podcast and I was like, okay, I'm going to start listening and see like, what are the first things we need to do? And ended up hearing you talk about like unicorn realtors. And I was like, well, we don't really know any realtors in the area. Like, our parents bought their homes a long time ago. Like, we just need to find someone who can really like work with us as first time home buyers. And so that kind of led us to reaching out to you and seeing who you knew. So,
okay. So you guys ended up like around $430,000. What had you guys done before that with your savings? What kind of position were you in prepared before you reached out and talked to the unicorns?
So we got married and then we started just a joint savings account. We had individual savings accounts that we were adding to, and then we just kind of put those together and we're just really saving as much as we could every month.
Yeah.
And we made sure like our credit scores were in pretty good shape, so we fortunately didn't have to worry too much about that. But yeah, we really were just kind of focused on saving and just ensuring we weren't like making any large purchases that might like stand out or prevent us from starting the home buying process potentially.
Okay. So you reached out to me January, 2023. When did you guys get married?
The previous September.
Yeah.
So just a few months prior.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys jumped in quick.
Well, we've been together for about 14 years up until that point. So we had talked about things and planned things and finally getting around to it.
Yeah.
Was it like the topic on the honeymoon? Like, okay, it's been 14 years. We did the wedding thing. The house is next.
Yeah, right. That kind of was it. It was like, okay, we're going to get married and then we're going to go on the honeymoon, relax. But then when we come back, then we're going to get real serious about the house and home buying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's cool. How long have you guys been renting?
Oh, we were renting for
5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, yeah. Was there a significant jump from your rent to your mortgage payment?
Yeah, I think about double.
Yeah, it was about double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm guessing with your home, like 1500 to 3000 or 1600 to 31 or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. And so were you prepped for that because you've been doing that joint savings account?
Yeah. And we were making sure like the salaries that we have would cover that and kind of like creating budgets in Google Sheets and being like, okay, if this is our monthly payment on the house, like, are we going to be okay? Or are we going to potentially be like house poor, which neither of us wanted? Like, would we have enough to like save and travel and do the stuff we wanted to do? So it was definitely a jump, but fortunately we're in a position where we were able to make it work.
I think that's an important point for the listeners to hear. Your rent doubled, but you still don't feel house poor. But that's because of the planning you did ahead of time. Yeah. And you consciously made the choice. Wow, wherever you were, where you were getting some good rent. So that sounds like that's low for the national average. So
yeah,
and that helped. Yeah, because that place was like just starting to raise their rents more aggressively. So I think we were probably in like a good spot where we were able to save a lot per month before things kind of got a little crazier there.
Yeah. I think they were going to raise our rent by like $300 or $400 if we had stayed for another year. Yeah. They had kind of tried to keep it consistent year over year through the whole pandemic, which was really nice that they were trying to do that during that. But yeah, we were like, okay, it's time. And so it worked out timing wise.
So in paying that new payment and then getting ready to purchase the home, did you guys have a down payment in your mind? And did you end up doing that down payment, or did the discussions with the unicorns change things?
Definitely had a few ideas, like a range of a down payment, but we weren't sure until we actually spoke to somebody. We weren't sure if we were being realistic or if we were totally off base.
Where did you end up?
Gosh, what did we end up with? Like 30, 25?
Yeah.
Maybe around there.
Do you mean percentage or
25,
like
25, the percentage? 25, 30%?
No, like.
Oh, five. Low. Like 3 or 5.
Yeah, very low. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. So were you aware of that process before you ended up speaking to the people? I mean, just listening to the podcast and you went, oh, we can get in for a low down payment.
Yeah. I mean, before I started listening to the podcast, a lot of content online is like, you need to put 30% down or
20%,
30%. Yeah. And that was really scary kind of reading that, because I was like, okay, we're renting, like we are saving, but with the home prices that are in our area, like that's just a lot. And then once we started listening to your podcast and kind of hearing like, actually, it's pretty common to not do that. And then talking with our realtor, and then she recommended us to a lender who was saying very similar things. Like, that's when it started to feel doable, I guess. Yeah, yeah, attainable.
I just saw a graph for 2023. The average buyer, not first time, just buyer, was 17% down payment. Mm. The average first time home buyer was 8%. So, okay. I mean, that's a testament to show that even the people who are maybe selling their house and buying another one are still looking at putting 10% down to try to keep some of that cash. Okay, tell us about your home shopping process. See, everyone who listens to the podcast gets all excited and thinks they're going to hear all HGTV stuff. But instead, we talk planning and finances because that's what matters. Tell us about the shopping. Did you guys grow up or live in the area or know the area well where you ended up buying a home?
I want to say we knew that area well. We've both were born and raised in Northeast Ohio, and we're probably about half an hour away from where we grew up. So it's not like we're totally unfamiliar, but it was a pretty, I don't know, different experience compared to our hometowns. But we're only like 5 minutes away from where we were renting, and we wanted to stay on the side of town. And yeah, so our realtor was great at kind of just helping us narrow down kind of what we were looking for in the area, what would work within our budget. And yeah, we just kind of ran from there. Yeah.
Did you get to keep on your list, and what did you have to cut from your list when you started going through?
Yeah, what was on our list?
We had like a description, basically. Like, it was a lot of like middle of the road stuff, like some land, but not too much land, like not too busy, but not in the middle of nowhere. We landed in a suburb, which I think we were happy with.
Yeah, we wanted a kitchen with an island. Just after renting, we were like, okay, we need like a larger kitchen, and you like to cook.
Yeah,
it's nice having a larger space.
One of the things that we had to leave off, even though we wanted to, was have a fence, a yard with a fence. It was just hard to find the perfect house that also had a fenced-in backyard. So we decided that we would just build a fence ourselves or hire contractors to do it after the fact. So that was a bit of a compromise in the looking.
Yeah.
I was going to say, at one point, I looked between you guys and I went, wait, I see a fence out that window. No offense. See, it is so difficult because of these darn TV shows. And even though half of them are about repairs and remodeling, people still think, I tell people all the time, look at the location, look at the guts, the bones of the home. But please, for the love of everything, don't talk to me about the color of the carpet or things that you can change and fix pretty darn easy. So it went fast for you guys. Did it feel fast?
Yeah. Yeah, it fell very fast, I would say.
Yeah, we were pretty surprised. I mean, once we got going, it was sort of just like, I think what surprised us the most, we had read and heard just how hot the market was. And so you might be caught in bidding wars, or you have to put in offers like immediately upon seeing a home. And one of the homes that we were going to visit, we like had a scheduled appointment, and I think the day before we had received an email from our realtor who was like, well, the owners already took an offer, so they're canceling all the other appointments. And we're like, oh, so this is what we're going to have to deal with.
That was like the same week it went on, so it wasn't even that long.
Yeah. Just within like a couple days of it going on the market, it was gone. Yeah. So we had to learn quick.
Yeah, it's crazy because you come into it, and I've talked to so many different buyers over the years, and they're like, all right, so we're having this meeting with you and we're ready. And then they'll say to me, but you know, we want you to know if the perfect house comes up next weekend, we, you know, we'll still go check it out, but we want to take a couple months. And I'm like, if the perfect house comes up next weekend, we're going to be writing the offer on the trunk of my car as soon as we walk out the door.
Yeah, I mean, the house that we're in now, so our realtor was basically like, okay, this is, now you know how quickly houses are going. And so if you see something, make sure, like, text me and let me know, and I'll reach out to the seller and we'll get something scheduled. So I think we had seen this house go up, and like the first day it went up, and I texted our realtor, like, after asking you what you thought, and she made an appointment for like the next day. I think it was like a Friday it went up. We went and saw it on Saturday, and the sellers were really just going to use that weekend, and then they were going to pick. So it was very fast.
I just did an interview. There's one that just posted recently with Millie, the exact same story, except Andrew, she didn't ask her partner. She just called the and just set up the appointment and went and looked at it.
Right.
But it was the same kind of thing. It came up on a Thursday and they wrote an offer on a Friday, and immediately in her defense, he works graveyard. So like second shift. Okay. So they had, you've got to be prepared to move for that speed. And did you do any previewing? Like, did you preview homes and go to open houses before you got everything together with your unicorn realtor and lender? Or what, did you just do like a big tour the first day?
Yeah, honestly, we didn't do any open houses. We had seen one other home before this one that we're in now, just like a private tour with our realtor, and yeah, we didn't put an offer on that one. So yeah, we kind of just like dove in and didn't really have any previous experience just going to open houses. We're just like, we'll go with our realtor and just right, kind of walk around and
wow. How was the offer process? Did you get in early enough? Was it just you? Were there multiple offers?
There were multiple offers.
Yeah. So we talked about it on like the Saturday or the Sunday with the realtor, just like strategy. And we had the finance guy involved at that point, and he like gave us some examples. You offer this down payment, this is what your monthly would look like if you go up to this total offer with this down payment. So that was really nice, just having some physical examples.
Yeah, tangible numbers.
The actual numbers.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it was Saturday, like we had told Trisha, our realtor, yeah, let's go ahead, let's jump in, put an offer down. I think we went to dinner with my family that night and Trisha ended up calling me and I like left the restaurant and we were talking about the offer and like how we would structure it. And then like she was making sure that the lender was like on top of things as well. So it was just like a very just like boom, boom, boom weekend of getting that all together and submitting the offer because the sellers wanted to make a decision by Monday.
Yeah. When the sellers know they've got the bird in the hand, they really run with it.
Yeah.
I've had many, when the market is like this, your realtor and the buyers and you have parking lot to parking lot conversations because you're both out doing something on the weekend, but it's like, crap, we need to talk now and figure it out. Were there any specific tricks that you remember? I know it was a while ago to win the bid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You both nodded like, oh yeah. What's your trick? Share. Yeah. The people want to know.
Yeah. So Trisha was great and emailed us a very detailed list of like different strategies that we could take. Wow. The obvious one would be like offering more than the listing price. And she kind of gave us an example of like, some people just ask or put down like the listing price as their offer. Some go middle, some really jump and offer a lot. And then she was like, but there's other things we can do. Like we could be flexible in the move-in dates. And I think there was, what was some of the other?
They allowed for an escalation clause. Yes. So we built that into the offer as well. She even said that this doesn't always happen, so we should take advantage of it when it's available. And that really helped too.
Yeah. So I think she said there were 6 or 7 offers on the table. Ours was not the highest, but what really ended up clinching it was the fact that we were giving them flexibility.
With time.
Yeah, because they were building their next home. And so they needed until the end of March to move in. And I think this was like beginning of February. So they needed that like cushion. And we weren't in like a super big rush. So we said, like take your time to move out. We'll work with you. And that, according to Trisha, was what did it.
Yeah.
So
that's huge. I tell people all the time, there's price and terms, but a lot of times I'll even add time because time is part of the terms, but I like to separate it. It can be your huge asset. You've got dollars, you've got, everyone thinks I'm going to get the biggest price or show the biggest down payment. You know how stressful moving is? If you can make the sellers move easy, winner, winner. That's why I harp so hard on the planning. And you guys were obviously in a great position because you were ready to take that new jump in the monthly payment, which means you had your money set up. And as long as you have your living situation, if you can offer them time, and sometimes it goes the other way, where the seller's like, I need to sell this house so I can get the money to buy my next one. I need to close in 14 days. So if you come into it being able to go super fast or as long as they want, sometimes that can be the winner. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And the escalation clause is something that, I mean, Trisha, she's one of my favorite unicorns. It is not always something that you can do or use, but if you have the ability to use it, it's great because what it means is you're saying, instead of just offering blind your number, because a lot of times it's just like poker. You just say, I'll do 430, and you have no idea what the other people are doing. But an escalation clause allows you to say, we're going to offer this 430, but if anyone matches that, we'll go up and you can do like up 2,000 or 3,000 or whatever you want to do. And But what's interesting is I was like, ooh, we're going to talk about escalation clauses, but it was really the time that did it for you. Yeah.
Both. But yeah, I think
the time was the big one.
Right.
Yeah.
De-stressing the situation for the seller. That's how you get picked. So they were in new construction and they didn't want to move twice because they were moving into something that was being finished. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think they had already been delayed a couple times. So that was another thing with the just being flexible, because they were pretty sure that it wasn't going to be delayed again.
Right.
But with it being February, March and in Ohio and not sure what the weather was going to do, they were like, okay, we're hoping that we'll get in by the end of March. And we're like, it's okay. Like, we'll make it work. So
see, and understanding that, like you said, that when it popped up, and Melissa, you nicely informed your partner, Andrew, about the home, but you said that your unicorn immediately went to set it up. And part of us setting up the appointments is also trying to extract as much information as we can. And so by not just setting the appointment and opening the door for you, she walked into the deal knowing that you guys had this ace up your sleeve. So
yeah,
with the time. Because like you said, anytime anyone says we're moving into a new build and it's February or March, I'm like, because even here in Southern California, well, that's just because our construction guys are wimps. If it like sprinkles, they're like, we're not working today. Okay. This is kind of fun because you guys were nice enough to say, yeah, we'll do an interview. And we've been trying to get this on the books forever. But now we can talk about, you've been in your home for a year. What are some of the things that you would let other new homeowners get ready to prepare for that first year? Or has everything been perfect? That would be great for my show if you said everything's perfect. But you know me, I like to tell the truth. So
yeah. I mean, there hasn't been any like huge thing. I would say that we are lucky because everybody that talked to us was like, okay, when you buy a house in the first year, something huge is going to go wrong. Just be ready for that. And we haven't really encountered that yet.
We still have the month of March.
I mean, maybe I'm talking too quickly.
Until that first year. So something might break.
Yeah, but we've been busy with stuff at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like we have an emergency fund set aside because of like knowing that things can break. So we had that when we moved in, and then we've just continued to add to it, just not knowing what could potentially go wrong.
And you do have the home warranty for the first year if something catastrophic happens.
Yeah. But there have been like little things, like the alarm system is a good example. So the previous owners had an alarm system and it was still under their name. And I ended up like messing with it a little bit and didn't realize that I turned it on. And then he came home and it went off when he opened the door, and we didn't know how to turn it off because we didn't have the code. So there was just like random little things like that, that we kind of had to like adjust and get used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's a good lesson because I've been through this before. If there's something there, call the alarm guys when you move in and figure out what's going on. I also have all my people who have fireplaces get a chimney sweep immediately after they move in. Because who knows if the people have lived there for 20 years and never used it, or they used it all the time and never cleaned it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. What have you got to enjoy in your new home? What are the things that I never asked you? Did you get your island or did you compromise on that?
Yeah, we did. We got it.
Yeah. We got a larger kitchen in the island, which we use pretty often.
Andrew uses, let's be real.
Yeah.
You use it.
Yeah. But, I mean,
every day.
There's a microwave over there. Yeah.
Right. Spicy. Thanks,
honey. I do the cooking in my house too, because my wife used to be a choreographer. So she was at the dance studio at night. So when we got married in our 30s, she's like, I never cooked. So that was my thing.
I always tell them, like, he cooks for enjoyment. I cook to survive. He enjoys it. I do it to just make sure that I don't starve. So,
yeah. In my house, we call that fun versus fuel.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Because I cook for fun. My wife makes stuff for fuel. She's getting really good, though. I will give her that. What are you enjoying? I mean, you had to put the fence up because you wanted it, but have you got to like make the house your own and do things that you couldn't do in an apartment that get you all excited?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've been basically repainting every room in the house and kind of styling it the way that we want to style it. And then we've been doing like DIY projects. I kind of have just like gone on to YouTube and started looking up like DIY things. And so we've built a few like floating shelves in like our kind of family living room. And then we kind of built a like built-in Billy bookcase, like bookshelf, following like some of those like YouTube tutorials. And
they're
so
the
really
best.
Getting into the DIY space. Yeah.
Those YouTube ones are the best because those floating shelves scared the crud out of me because I destroyed walls in my apartments with those butterfly things.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How fun for you guys. And you're enjoying the area because you were renting there for a long time.
Yeah. No, the area is great. Our neighbors have been fantastic. Like Andrew mentioned, we put up a fence and that's been perfect for our dog. And then we recently added a puppy to the mix.
Yeah.
So they get to use the yard all the time.
Last Halloween was the first time we'd passed out candy, really. And
yeah, that was fun.
The neighborhood is like the perfect shape for that. It's an oval. And so there was just tons of kids and we got the biggest candy bars we could find. And that was really cool.
They loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have in my neighborhood, in my town, like the parents, they get like popcorn machines or someone else got a cotton candy machine and they just sit on the driveway. You don't even go to the doors. Everyone just hangs out. They open the garage and everyone just sits there and has the best time. And the kids can smell it. They see you guys and they're like, new homeowners, big bars.
That's ideas for next year.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, invite your neighbors. In California, we all get our beach chairs and we just set them on the thing. We just sit in our beach chairs and hang out and someone brought their mini fire pit over and it was awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
If you really want to get crazy, you give kids s'mores and see their parents get all mad at you because they get the marshmallow all over their costume. Awesome. Awesome. Well, and this is part of the joy of home ownership, especially if you're coming from apartment life, that I think there's a gigantic emotional attachment to a home for you, for your dogs. By the way, I was told before this interview the dogs are going to be loud, and I haven't heard a peep.
They've been on really good behavior, yeah.
Yeah, they've quieted down, which is nice.
But there's so much. I know a lot of people live in the big cities and they even buy their apartments and have their dog life in an apartment and they figure out how to do it. But being able to have this space and you didn't go for the full rural, you went for the suburbs, but now you've got a fenced in yard for your dogs and you can get a puppy and not be freaked out. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been huge for us, is just having that space that we can do with what we want and make it work. That we can enjoy, but then also, yeah, we're dog parents. So making sure they're happy and can run around and enjoy it is important too. So
that is fantastic. Well, this was great to be able to thank you for finally being able to make this work with me. I'm dedicating myself this year to getting as many listeners as I can because people are really finding inspiration and motivation from people like you. And I'm looking here at the screen. You guys just look so happy. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. We're so happy that we were able to talk with you. And yeah, hopefully this is inspiring for other first-time home buyers as well.
Just like it was for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the people out there know you're together for 14 years. If they're not watching the video, how old are you guys?
32.
So yeah, 31 and 32.
Yeah.
So you rented from late 20s to around getting married around 30-ish, buying a home around 31-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's the awesome thing. You beat the national average by 5 years. Last year, Yeah, 35 is the, for marriage. I don't know what marriage is. Do not care. The older, the better, as far as this old man thinks. Oh, old, drink. No. But yeah, the national average is 35 years old. But by reaching out, and there are a lot of people in your situation that might have gone, oh my gosh, double? And maybe they would have needed to take a year to figure it out. But your guys' salaries were enough. And by making that move quickly, you got in and you've had a year's worth of appreciation already. I mean, you guys are going to be getting close to being able to get rid of your PMI probably by next year. For sure.
Yeah.
Because you're probably around 10% equity right now, if not more.
Yeah. And I would say too, I mean, a lot of like what I had read before I started listening to the podcast was all like, don't do PMI, don't do PMI. And I think it's just like that scares people off. But I mean, once we started digging into the numbers with our lender, like it wasn't something to be super scared of.
Yeah.
And yeah, it falls off. So it got us into our home and yeah.
It got you into your home.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's gone up yet or not because I did it early. I mean, the podcast is 5 years now. I re-recorded PMI is not the devil because I had to jar people into understanding if it's $100 or $150 a month and you're 5% down, say you're 5% down on $400,000. Well, 20% down, that's tens of thousands of dollars. You're $60,000. If you had to wait to save up that $60,000, well, or you could just get in at 5% down instead of 20% down, and it costs you an extra $150 a month. So $150 a month, you just lent yourself $60,000. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys caught the appreciation of 2023. So
yeah.
Are you guys on Zillow? Are you looking to see how much your house is worth? Or do you guys just not even care?
I think a few times.
A few times, yeah. Then we get things from Trisha about like how the market in our area is doing. And I think we get emails from you as well about that. So
yes, yes. On it. Yes, I know. Yeah, listeners, I pay for a service to send to my people after they close just to say, hey, look how your house is doing. But the cool thing is I really did it because of the PMI watch. You guys are going to be, when the snow thaws, you're going to see prices go up where you are because we're recording this early March. And you're going to be in great shape. And then you could say, ooh, we have an extra $100 a month and you can build a little DIY fund. Start bookmarking all the YouTube things and then wait till the fund matches the new thing to do. That's awesome. Well, congratulations. I'm excited for you guys. This is great. We were all over the place because it's been a year. So that's kind of fun. This is exciting. Thank you guys very much. We appreciate your time. And the homies say thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Was a pleasure.
All right, guys. Man, I love it when I hear the stories from the listeners who thought they had to put 20% down. I think they even said 30. The myths that are out there, huge myth busting. PMI is not the devil. You don't need 20% down. And if your mortgage doubles what you're already paying in rent, it still could be a very wise investment for you to talk to a Unicorn team and find out what your options are. That was huge lessons we got from Melissa and Andrew. I'm just looking at the notes here. Let's see. They're really smart in keeping that first year fund so that they made sure that they had enough money for any emergencies that came up. But as you heard, their first year has just been a lot of fun for them, creating a space for their dogs and getting to do what they want with their own house. And isn't that the goal? Isn't that the dream? Start your planning today so you can begin to work because then you own the property and you can do whatever you want with it. And they were a great example of people who had just done planning. They just done the planning of the savings. They hadn't even talked to a Unicorn for a long last lease ever program. They talked to a Unicorn in January and they were in a house by the first week of March. They understood that things moved quickly. But because they had a good Unicorn helping them out, their offer stood out amongst all the others, and they understood a massive importance between price, terms, and time. Great story. Very excited that we had got another member of our revolution here and on the podcast so they could tell you their story. Go to howtobuyahome.com right now, no matter where you are. You can start with the 7-day program just to kind of give you the basics, or you can ask me a question right there on that website, or you can say, you know what, dude, I'm ready, unicorn time, and ask me for a unicorn. And of course, you can always follow me on the social media as well. Look for at How to Buy a Home or at How to Buy a Home podcast and look for my ugly mug. Great interview. So excited. And I love the inspiration and the motivation they give, because then it's not just me telling you, but now I'm sure if you talk to Melissa and Andrew, they would tell you this too. You can do it.